Let's pray together. Father God, we do ask that you now open our minds to the scriptures. Help us to understand exactly what was going on in Peter's mind and with Jesus, and help us to know how we should respond as a result. Amen. Well, when I was 16 years old, I attended a grammar school in Lancashire at a place called Kirkham. And the school had a small boarding house. I was a boarder. And after school, we boarders were allowed to wander into the local town before returning back to school for tea at 5:30. So picture the scene. There I was one day in my school uniform, alone in town, and I noticed the notorious Manning brothers coming towards me. They hated us grammar school kids. But I thought, at least it's the Mannings, it's not the McDonald brothers. The McDonald brothers tended to hit first and ask questions later. But I think the McDonalds were in Borstal at the time. But anyway, the Mannings were coming towards me, and I thought, well, I can bluff my way out of this. As they got close to me, one of them said, "Oi, you from grammar?" I thought it was a bit of a silly question, because what am I going to say? No, I just like dressing up in this school uniform. So I had to say yes. I go there. "Were you in town yesterday?" "Yesterday." I said, "Might have been." "Were you with a kid dressed in a white coat?" "Ah, yes, the white coat. The white coat belonged to Dennis. It was, you could see Dennis from miles away. And I had been in town with Dennis the day before and with Andy. On the way back to school, we were followed by some rather mean-looking thugs, and once we got safely into the school grounds, Andy, being a bit of a joker, shouted out, 5 minutes, all right, and went looking for the school tough person. He didn't find him, so these guys were just left waiting there. I said, "Were you with this kid wearing a white coat?" I started lying. "No, I was just here by myself." I thought, best thing, deny everything. So I lied and I lied, and I got carried away. I said I skipped lessons, which I didn't. I said I smoked, which I didn't. I generally tried to act cool. I probably slouched and spat on the ground, that sort of thing. I lied myself out of a difficult situation. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Well, actually, that's the sort of situation that Peter finds himself in today's Bible reading. And I mean, he did want to be brave. He was sincerely worried about Jesus. He wanted to help. But out of fear, he found himself denying that he even knew Jesus. And not just once, 3 times he did it. "I don't know this man you're talking about." Of course, earlier in the evening, Jesus said that this was going to happen. He predicted it. Peter had said, "No way, I will never let you down. I will never disown you." But of course, Jesus turned out to be right. He normally does. He always does. My first heading this morning is Jesus denied by his friend. Jesus denied by his friend. And you've got to pity poor Peter. He breaks his promise to Jesus. He tells lies. Denies even knowing Jesus. And so he stands guilty before God. Well, how did he feel doing that? Well, we know when the cockerel crowed the second time, he broke down and wept as those words of Jesus flooded back into his heart. Because it was an awful thing to do. But let's be honest, most of us, wouldn't we do the same? It's the most natural response in the world. This response of self-preservation, it kicks in when we're scared. Particularly if we think we're going to get beaten up or put to death. Imagine it's late at night in Ipswich and you're walking down a street alone. And towards you come walking some rather menacing people, and they're carrying some clubs. And they say, "Do you go to church? Do you follow that Jesus person?" Be honest. What would your natural reaction be? What would we say? Would we deny knowing Jesus? I guess the thing here, though, is that this time it's not people with clubs. It's a servant girl, and Peter denies Jesus to a servant girl. So let's change the picture. We're now not in Ipswich. We're somewhere safer. And say the WI or the gardening club. I take it they're safer than Ipswich at night. But just imagine that you're chatting with somebody and they say, "What do you mean you go to church? You one of those Christians? You don't really believe that stuff about Jesus, do you?" Why is it that even then, many of us would be quick to deny Jesus to save face? "Oh, well, yes, I go on a Sunday morning, but I don't really take it seriously. I just like to get out of the house." Why do we get so easily embarrassed about being Christian? And it's even church leaders. I remember Dick Lucas, rector of St. Helens Bishopsgate in London. Dick could speak to hundreds of people at a time with total confidence and total conviction about Jesus. And yet one night he tells the story of going to a takeaway and the person in the East End asks him, "Oh, what do you do?" And this was before the banking crisis, by the way. He just said, "Oh, I work in the city." Which was kind of true, but he was making it sound like he was a banker. And on the way home he thought, "Why did I say that? Why couldn't I say I'm a church leader?" So of course in this passage Peter is being held up as a negative example, an example of us not to follow. We didn't have the other verses surrounding read to us, but of course those verses are about Jesus, who is a positive example to us. And the contrast is striking, isn't it? Whereas Peter buckles under the questioning of a servant girl, Jesus stands firm under the questions of the whole Jewish ruling council. And then he gets beaten up. He still stands firm. Then he gets taken to Pontius Pilate, a scary, scary man. And he still stands firm under his questioning. And he gets beaten up again, flogged. And he still stands firm. And then he is sentenced to crucifixion. Jesus could have talked his way out of it. Jesus could have called down 10 legions of angels to help. But he did not. He stood firm. Jesus is the example we should follow, not Peter. But I think more than that's going on here. And I want to come to my second heading this morning, which is Jesus dies for his friend. Because if we think about it from Peter's perspective, it looks disastrous, doesn't it? His Lord, whom he loves, has just been arrested. And just about everyone else, they've run away. So Peter's confused. He's thinking... What is going on? My whole world is falling apart. Why has Jesus let himself be captured? Is all this going to end in failure? But we know that Jesus is actually in control of all things and that he is deliberately dying for a reason. Jesus dies for his friend. Peter cannot see that yet. But that's why Jesus has let himself be arrested. It may look like a failure from the perspective of Peter, but not from the perspective of Jesus. So whereas Peter falls apart, Jesus remains firmly in control. Whereas Peter breaks his promise to Jesus, Jesus keeps his promise to Peter and to all of us. Whereas Peter tells lies to escape death, Jesus tells the truth and faces death bravely. Peter denies Jesus, but Jesus does not deny his disciples. And Jesus is dying for a reason. He is dying in our place. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel, isn't it? Yes, Peter's guilty. He's a failure. He's let Jesus down. But Jesus loves him, and Jesus came to die for him. He came to die for Peter the failure. That Peter back then, this Peter here today, he came to die for all of us failures. Despite our guilt, despite the way we have let Jesus down, he dies for us, his friends. Despite being denied by his friend, Jesus still loves him. And I just love what happens next. Not only is Peter forgiven, what happens at the end of John's Gospel? Peter has denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus reinstates Peter with the words, "Feed my sheep." That is grace. Jesus can still use us after we've stumbled and fallen. And it gets even better, because what happens to Peter then following the resurrection? In fact, following the ascension. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And this same Peter who denied Jesus three times now stands up and preaches boldly to 3,000 people. Well, probably more. 3,000 people turned to Christ that day. And then he goes in front of the Jewish council and he stands firm. Not only is the Christian forgiven and reinstated, but we're given the Spirit of the living God to enable us to be powerful in the future. In John 14, Jesus promises the Spirit. He says, "I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. I will send you the Holy Spirit." So we have the presence of Jesus with us, always, making us strong. So the change in Peter is awesome. And it's all because Jesus died for him. Jesus does not abandon us, even when we abandon him. He was faithful to death, and through his death, we can be forgiven, we can be reinstated, he can still use us, and we can be filled with the Spirit. So how are we to react to all of this? Maybe we've let Jesus down in the past, and maybe that causes us to want to weep. Maybe we have stumbled. Maybe we're worried that we will stumble in the future, and we probably will. But we don't have to panic, because our right standing with God doesn't rely on our faithfulness. It relies on the faithfulness of Jesus. And he died to set us free from all we do wrong, past, present and future. Yes, Peter is not the example to follow. But if we find we do follow it, we can be confident that with repentance there is forgiveness and restoration. Jesus remains faithful. He died for his friends, and we are his friends if we trust in him. So despite all our failures, Jesus will always lift us up if we ask him to, reinstate us to be his servants. He will not leave us as orphans, but fill us with his Spirit. And that's the other thing, if we have the Spirit of God in us, we can be strong like Peter. We shouldn't always look at Peter as kind of the hero back then. It was the Holy Spirit working in a failure that did it. And the Holy Spirit can do the same for us too. Being a Christian in England these days is not easy. And even just this week, Tim Farron, the leader of the Lib Dems, was speaking to the London Evening Standard. And he said that today's society is suspicious of people who have faith. And as a result, people are now frightened to talk openly about Jesus. And it's true. There's the other story going on, the case of Sarah, I think her surname is pronounced Cutter. But she was a nurse in Kent, sacked in August 2016. Why was she sacked? Well, she offered to pray for patients. One person complained, and they dismissed her. Or there's the story of street preachers who have recently been arrested. Well, with all that going on in our society, it's tempting to deny Jesus. But we have the Spirit. and we're called to be bold and be strong. So let's say we're chatting to somebody and they turn around and say, "Oh, you're not one of those Christians, are you?" How will we react? When we're challenged like that, we may be tempted to talk our way out of it or to deny Jesus, and maybe we will stumble and fall. If that's the case, remember Jesus is faithful. He died for his friends. But let's pray that out of gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us, and by the power of the Spirit, we might actually be strong and respond, "Yes, I am one of Jesus' followers. It's the best thing I've ever done. I call God my Father. I worship Jesus, his Son. Can I tell you why?" As we close, let me finish by reading again the words of our first reading. Don't think I've got them up there. I'll just have to grab my Bible. Words from Hebrews chapter 4. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Let's pray. So Father, we do indeed ask for more grace, more power from your Spirit to enable us to stand firm, and thank you that being a member of the kingdom is never dependent on our own performance, but on the faithfulness of Jesus, the same Jesus who died to save us. So let us be encouraged as we now come to take communion, knowing that if we trust in him, we will never be forsaken. Amen.